Hi, it's a Girl Mommy Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time. Hi. Welcome to season episode two.
I mean, putting it in seasons, I was just saying that off cam.
I don't know
if there are seasons, but it would make sense for this to be a new season because, guys, I don't know if you can tell,
but like the wardrobe has upgraded. Praise God.
The
sweatpants season is over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Crop top season is over.
Yeah.
Praise God. We're getting it together.
You know, we actually curating our looks.
Exactly.
Because, you know, last week during the live updates, I didn't express like much excitement because I didn't know what management had in store. Now I know what management has in store. And so, now
you're excited.
Very much so. And unfortunately, can't really say anything. Just watch. Pay close attention.
Be locked in because I promise you it's about to be an amazing year for Chesties.
Yes.
An amazing year for Kai and I.
Yes.
An amazing year for Rampedi Media. Very excited.
Very, very excited. I can't wait. Okay, let's get into the live updates.
Any live updates?
Why are you asking like you don't know?
Like the thing is, like, I don't know if like she wants to like go into it or how
really
you
feel. Gonna go into deep the details into it. Okay, it's because I don't think I'm ready to go there.
Okay,
far.
Okay.
But hey, tough day in the office, man. You know it's tough when I'm waking four up at 5 a.m.
It was four in the morning. She called me at four in the morning, y'all. I was like, hello.
And guys, I was in turmoil. And I'm just looking at the phone. I'm like, please answer, bro. Please. I don't know who else to call, what else to do. Because I was quartered to crashing out, bro. And it's really early in the morning. Boy and I had parted ways at night. Around 10 o'clock.
The previous evening.
I thought she had passed us. And she answered one, like, first call.
Yes. And my phone was on silent. So I'm a very light sleeper.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't put my phone on do not disturb because I don't know. Anybody can call me at any time for an emergency.
Yeah.
So my phone was...
That was a sincere emergency.
I literally heard the first buzz. I was like... Like, I can literally hear text. Like, I tried
I'm sure
to
when
go,
you saw my name there, you're like, what?
What's going on? Like, I don't think I actually read your name. I just answered the phone. I was like, hello? And then Kaya's there like... You answer the phone.
Did you see my messages? Tap in, bro. Oh. Like, guys, what a morning. And you know it's bad if I'm up in the AMs.
Yeah.
It's tragic because nothing can wake me up. But I was literally woken up. Again. And then the dream told me, go here, do this. And when one day I'll tell you guys the particulars. I'm unable to communicate the details of what happened this morning without communicating in anger.
Dragging the person.
I'm refraining from talking about it because I'm angry. And I realize that speaking when you're angry,
it's not the best.
Speaking when I'm angry because anger is in my bones. When I get angry, it's in my veins. It's in the air that comes out of my mouth. Yeah. So I try not to speak when I'm angry. But it's been a tough morning. You can tell.
Literally, like, we ended the call, like, go and pray.
Yes, actually. Because I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. I'm quoted to crashing out. Help me here. Because I'm going to engage in D1 crash out behavior and make an absolute mess.
Yeah.
A fool of myself. And she was like, girl, go and pray.
Just go.
And that's literally what I went to do when we hung up. I just sat. And I didn't really, you know, I didn't really say much in prayer. I just sighed and cried. That's literally all I did. And I speak about, forgot the scripture now, it's in Romans, about how the Spirit translates deep sighs and groanings to God. You know, making clear.
I also know that scripture.
So I prayed. It wasn't very wordy. But I did pray, and it helped a lot because I ain't do no crash out, nothing. So I'm very proud
of her self-control. And even now on this couch, like not speaking in anger, it's very important because I was reading, is it Paul? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which book it was, but it basically said that you cannot curse and praise the Lord in the same with the same tongue.
Yeah.
Your praises are not heard. Your prayers aren't heard if you just cursed someone.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that...
Oh, I think I've mastered self-control. Lord, send the next challenge. This one has been conquered. Self-control.
I think maybe really that's what this relation. This is what this situation has taught you. the situation I has think just taught
a
you
a lot of scenarios.
Self-control. Well.
Like, particularly
2024 taught you self-control, Kaya.
My God.
It did.
The entire year. Yeah. I could have crashed out how many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm good now. Next, on to the next challenge. I think the next challenge would be maybe humility.
Mm.
And not humility in that I'm proud with my interactions. Mm-hmm. Proud in my interactions with people. Mm-hmm. But humility in the sense of needing God, being very, let me say,
understanding that you can't do it alone.
Yes, absolutely that. I think that will be my next challenge because it's one of self-control. Conquered. Thank you.
Yeah, in your bag.
What's your life update?
Guys, I almost got robbed yesterday.
The way she's laughing about it as if...
No, like for real, snatch and grab at Rosebank. Apparently, Rosebank ain't safe no more. Clearly, I saw it first.
That's so sad.
By like Redison, like I thought, what's the restaurant?
Can we say it? Because we don't want to say we nearly got robbed near that restaurant and then they're going to say the restaurant's not safe.
So, the restaurant, it like did nothing wrong. It's like the area,
yeah,
shame.
That area
is not safe because there's also other restaurants. And I think Redison Red is in that block. There's a lot of like,
I don't know the other restaurants.
I was so comfortable in that environment because there were a lot of like fancy. It's giving like Sandton City across Nedbank, you know, yeah. That place. Yeah. Yeah, it's giving that. So I felt safe.
Yes, there were a number of security guards.
Actually, a security guard was standing right next to me when I almost got snatched and grabbed. And it's literally because we both didn't see it because you're looking for danger coming from the road.
Yeah.
Not from behind you because there's restaurants behind you. So this person literally ran from... I literally saw a tall man wearing a black jacket and a gray shirt, chiscop. I remember him.
If I needed to go do
a police sketch, I could do a sketch for you. I remember him so clearly.
Really?
Because he looked me in the eye with so much rage. He was so angry. He was so
that he couldn't get your phone.
Angry. Like, he was so angry. He literally came, like, I saw his hand first, and I'm just seeing someone trying to grab my phone. And I'm literally just... I just turn and I look. I don't scream. I don't nothing. I just hold my phone tighter. And then he comes now from the front to try grab it again. Mm-hmm. And I still just look at him. And because I'm not screaming, the security guard who's digitally 5 steps away from me is not alert. Like, he's not registering what happens. And then when he sees, he starts shouting like, hey, hey. And then that's when the guy actually runs.
Yeah.
But he, on his run, he attempted again. It was the last attempt. Yeah. And that's
no,
when
really
I saw his face.
Yeah.
And I saw his anger. And I think it's because, shame, he planned it out so nicely and everything like that. Like, all that effort, bruh. All that effort. But at the car, we saw the car because he ran into a car. We saw it was a gray Hyundai, if I'm not mistaken, a dark gray one. I even remember the car. Saw the car drive past, go like this into the streets. And I'm thinking that car is gone because I was looking for my Uber. And then apparently he got off the other streets and then he walked basically like normal. And then from behind us, that's when the whole incident happened. So
why don't these securities have guns?
That's the thing. They don't have any anything.
Or something. Like they a taser. Like
don't have anything at all, shame. So he had to go, I guess, report the incident because they were like, what happened? So another security guard came and replaced him. Uh-huh. And this one was not even standing 5 steps. Was standing right next to me. Uh-huh. Even walked me to the car. Uh-huh. And yeah, so I was so ready to get home, guys. I was so ready to get home.
And it only registered what had happened when you got home.
Not even.
When you were in the Uber.
It registered like, because I still didn't have an Uber. Mm-hmm. So I stayed there like an extra 10 to 15 minutes, mm-hmm. just shivering. Like I was shaking. I was like in shock.
Yeah.
And then I think that's when I texted you.
Yeah. When you texted me, I'm like, oh, I know I should have stayed with this girl.
Kaya really wanted to stay. And I kept persisting, saying, no, you can go. No, you can go. No, you can go. But it's okay. We saved. My phone is still safe.
Praise God.
Still with us.
Praise God.
In terms of anything else, like my highlight of this week was Thor Digest. That's actually my highlight for this week. Fully. And our Galentine's Day dinner.
Which you guys are going to see a little bit later in the week.
Yeah, you guys are going to see it. I gifted Kaya and I gifted us cute little friendship necklace.
Guys, I'm living my girlhood dreams. The way I put on this, it was the first thing I put on this morning.
Do you
before
like
my dress, before anything else. I'm like, this is the star of the show.
Yes.
Right.
So
here.
I don't know if you guys will be able to see. Wait, let me show. Mine is a pendant, like a heart lock with a little keyhole, and then hers is
the key.
Is the key, and then cute little friendship bracelets.
Be able to see, hopefully.
Mine is the full heart that goes inside her hat.
My empty heart.
Oh,
my
damn.
Empty dark heart.
So yeah, and shame we chopped it up, like yeah, we chopped it up, lovely. Had good food, but that food caused me it hurt my tummy. I
really? Was
like, yeah, like
sorry.
I went through the most. I really think it was the sweetness, because you remember really? I had like a chocolate. Uh-huh. I had the chocolate,
the
and then
pudding.
The malva pudding.
Oh,
was
no, the
so,
actual chocolate.
Yeah, you remember I had the yeah. actual chocolate first, and then I had the malva pudding. The malva pudding was so sweet. That's mm-hmm. how you saw. I didn't eat it. Mm. Like I barely ate it. It was too
that
sweet.
That cream didn't help. Mm-mm. Was it a cream?
It was. It was custard. The custard was not sweet. The malva pudding itself was like. It's like yeah. I was eating sugar, and yeah. I think because I told you in the last episode on the life update, yeah. I've reduced yeah. my sugar intake.
So it was.
Yeah, it was I gave me. Yeah, it gave me. Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, cut the cameras. Cut the cameras.
I was happy with my meal. Nothing happened with my meal.
Like even your dessert, her ugly ass. Her ugly ass ice cream.
It's an acquired taste. Baklava ice cream is an acquired taste.
That ice cream is it's not.
Are you not think you've had baklava ice cream? Yeah, it's an acquired taste. It's the salt and it's interesting. It takes some getting used to. So it wasn't ugly, like you said. It didn't taste bad.
Yeah.
You just needed to eat it a couple more times and you're like, I might actually crave this one day.
Her face taste of it was like, I don't know how to feel.
I didn't know because it was crusted. In salted caramel, but it was the salted caramel was heavily salted,
very heavily and then salted.
The ice cream itself was really thick. It didn't taste like regular ice cream.
The texture
was really really thick and rich. And then inside, I forgot what is it, pistachio nuts. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of nuts, so that too was a bit of a shock to my palate. But like I said, a quiet taste. The same way. Medium rare meat is an acquired taste as well.
Yeah, she had medium rare meat.
Yeah.
Kaya is in her girlhood era. She was cutting her meat. And then she's like, it's too difficult to cut.
So yeah, I'm like, waiter.
She sent it back to the kitchen.
Please cut
and
the
they
steak.
They cut her steak off.
Because I'm not meant to struggle.
But to be fair, she did ask for it to come cut. Yeah. And they didn't deliver.
And he just sliced it.
Yeah.
It's my fault. I just said, please slice it for me. So he thought just... Yeah.
Slice it a bit.
Yes,
yeah.
Maybe he interpreted that as score the meat for me. I meant cut it into pieces so that I don't have to use the knife. Yeah, I just need to use the fork.
And you just
because this meat is already costing rent. So please.
Yeah, no, Kaya's bills when we go out need to be studied.
Disgusting.
They need to be studied. Like, please watch the ads.
And like, we do this thing where
watch the
we ask for it. You know, they charge us for the taste. So we ask for the taste of the particular drink.
They charge us for the taste.
Yes. And sometimes like we'll taste eat more than one and be like, no, I don't like this one. Bring me another one.
Remember that fish white that we had?
Disgusting. So that they charge us for that. And then you get a full glass and then you get another glass, whatever the case is. So we're expensive girlies.
Please watch the ads. Do not skip the ads.
Please, for our sake, because, you know, our lifestyle is not cheap.
Skip the ads. And subscribe to memberships. Thank you very much.
For our sake.
Thank you. If you subscribe to memberships, I'm telling you, you will get vlogs of these dinners.
Actually,
you'll get
see
vlogs.
In real time.
Yeah, but let's go into our girl chat.
Yes.
Kaya's topics for Valentine's Day, she went on more on the somber side of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I only realized after that these are kind of dark and deep and sad. We're supposed to be talking about the bright side of love and
like,
just like
the good,
trauma, one-sided relationships, heartbreak.
So
maybe
yeah,
next week, guys.
Maybe
we'll
next
end
week
off with
we'll end off. No, next week I make sure the last Valentine's Day series episode centers more on self-love.
Okay, awesome.
So I curated it more on loving yourself and like friendship type of loves, like. You,
okay.
Watch.
Okay, because watch. The first 2 weeks watch. Of this series is
very dark. So now today's goal check topic is unrequited love.
Yeah.
How to cope and deal with it, and
how to cope and deal with one-sided relationships.
Yeah, one-sided relationships. Yeah. Yes. So first things first, have you ever been in a one-sided relationship?
I've been in imbalanced relationships because I, you know, sometimes, When you continuously pour, you experience mental and emotional fatigue.
Mm.
So there have been relationships where I've continuously made the effort and made the effort and made the effort. And then after communicating, then the balance was restored. You know, we were back to status quo. So I don't think the entire relationship was one side. Ooh, let me not lie. I don't want to sit on this couch and lie. Now I'm thinking about it. All of... Can I say all?
Mm.
I'm going to say all.
Mm.
Of my relationship were one-sided on the loyalty end of things.
Mm.
Yeah.
So exclusivity only... it only meant exclusive for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody else was open.
Yes. 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 I was the only one in a monogamous relationship.
Oh, damn. That's crazy.
The other party was a...
polygamous. Very polygamous.
So, you know what? In that regard, when it comes to romantic relationships, it has definitely been one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to loyalty. In friendships, it's the... you know, the imbalance that I'll communicate and then that would be
restored. For me, I feel like I've been in my fair share of one-sided relationships. I think that's my bad trait.
Mm.
I tend to commit a lot of my time and my energy and my interest in people who aren't as interested in me as I am in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am like, I think I have a PhD in one-sided relationships. So I can talk about this topic in length, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shame. Oh, damn. Like, there wasn't one relationship. This was the relationship of all relationships. This, you know, every relationship.
I feel like most of your bad relationships.
Is that one guy?
With the graphic tee.
Is that guy with the graphic tee? Literally.
I'm going to call him graphic tee. If you're an OG Jesty.
You know who graphic tee nigga is. Do you know I had a dream about him the other day?
Oh, girl.
And you know where it stemmed from? I was praying. I was like, Lord, please show me my husband. Did I not dream of that
then? No.
I woke up and I went into prayer. I said, I rebuke.
That's the response.
I rebuke.
You better rebuke him.
I rebuke. So yeah, so it was very one side. Because remember I told you on his birthday.
The devil heard that prayer.
So. He fully did. I went into like a whole like planning, like slides, factory socks for him. Mm-hmm. You know, like the notes and everything like that. And on my birthday, he didn't even wish me a happy birthday on the day. And then he came the next day and just dropped off flowers. And then... as I was leaving Rez to go to get like maybe food with my mm-hmm. friends, he was coming in and it was still in the shop shop plastic, mm-hmm. like still in the shop plastic. He gave me a graphic.
Plastic.
Mm. Not even a gift bag.
Not even a
nothing.
No, not even a paper bag.
Keep plastic. Yeah. In a little graphic tee.
And the flowers were they from Woolies?
Yes. Nice. Or white flowers.
Mama.
From Woolies. The white roses.
White flowers, the white roses.
Yeah.
You know those are the cheapest ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So very one-sided. Can you see? Because on his birthday, I went all out, guys. Went fully all out. On my birthday, not even a happy
I'm glad
birthday.
You rebuked that dream.
Fully.
So sometimes demons can take the shape of somebody you know.
Mm. Clock that.
Let's get back to the topic.
Clock we divert. No, but then shame. I think my relationships start to become one-sided once I get into the relationship. Because mm-hmm. when I talk about these bad experiences, people must think, oh, it's easy to get into a relationship with Mpo. It actually isn't.
Mm-hmm.
When he was courting me, he put in more effort than when we were in the relationship.
Not at all, girl.
Like, I remember this guy every time, and my YouTube channel was growing exponentially, right?
Mm-hmm. Exponentially.
Yes. Exponentially, thank you. My YouTube channel was growing exponentially. So I remember when I got 10,000 subbies,
mm-hmm.
he got me a, what to call this? He got me a t-shirt.
And that was in the beginning.
That was in the, not even begin. At that point, we're still like friends-ish. You know, he was still reeling me in. He got me like, and the t-shirt, it was like an oversized t-shirt because I used to always take his.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was in a gift bag. It even had a note. And it was something... it was a gift with meaning, you get me? And then I remember I reached 20,000 2 months later. He got me a cake.
I know.
And you see?
We know.
So when he was courting me, he was like in it. So I know one-sided relationships. Mm-hmm. I don't think people go... no, okay, no. There are some people who know... girl, never mind.
Don't do that.
How do you then like move from...
you know what I think is like, what I think is essential
yeah.
when it comes to any kind of relationship, friendships, romantic relationships, is being hyper aware. I think sometimes we allow our emotions to take precedent and our logic doesn't click until much later. We were actually on stream with Bruce yesterday, and he sat down talking about during the stream. He was coming to many realizations
about that relationship,
about the relationship.
Oh,
because
shame.
Now logic has
set in.
Logic has set in.
And Kaya did say he loved her, and I didn't
believe. Love her. He really did love her. And unfortunately, when we fall in love, we lose our sense of awareness. You know that attention to detail that we pay to everything else in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
We fail to do that in our romantic relationships and in our friendships because we are happy, you know? So I think when it comes to identifying one-sided relationships, stay hyper-aware. How nitpicky you are about other things in your life, be nitpicky about that. That way, you'll be able to notice the imbalance as soon as it happens.
No, the thing is not clocking. I think the hyper-awareness thing is an amazing thing. Oh, there was something else I wanted to say.
It just slipped your mind.
Like, it fully just slipped my mind right now. It's also not making excuses.
Yeah.
I think we tend to make excuses for the people we love. There's always a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they forgot this because they're busy. Oh, yeah. They forgot this because they have a lot on their plates. Yeah. Or they're acting in this manner because of this and this and this. So we always have excuses. So I feel like if a person hasn't come and given you a reason,
mm-hmm.
do not give them an excuse.
I see.
Don't give people excuses before they have come themselves and given you a reason and explain themselves to you and have apologized. Like, don't make them aware, like in a sense of like, don't make an excuse of someone who's not even aware that they've hurt you.
Fully. I do think that on the other side of that coin, making excuses for somebody is also consideration. So sometimes we view relationships from our perspective only, from a subjective perspective. Objectively, try to analyze it objectively. That's why I think also communication is really important.
Important, yes.
Like, sometimes, and when we talk about a balance in relationships, we're not talking about a constant 50-50.
Mm.
Because not everybody's at their 100% all the time. Sometimes to our friendship, I can only bring 30%.
Mm.
I can only show up once a month or twice a month. I can't answer this call. I can't answer that call. But I need to be forthcoming. And as much as I need to be forthcoming about my ability to show up in the relationship, you also need to be confrontational about it and say, hey, I feel like I've been pouring a lot into this relationship. Why are you being inconsistent? Why are you not showing up as much?
Mm.
Exactly. So that part of it as well, just being considerate of the objective truth instead of placing your own narrative as the narrative. Because I've also been guilty of that, to count my perspective as the perspective. Like, you're doing this to me and I did this for you and this matters and this matters. But really, the person could only show up that much in that season. In that season, yeah.
What happens if, for instance, they don't communicate that? Like, they don't communicate it, and when you confront them about it, they don't see anything wrong in what they did. Do you?
Oh, you cannot then open somebody's eyes for them. I think the best you can do when you realize a relationship is one-sided is that confrontation, is that communication. If there still is no effort on their end, if there's no accountability on their end, retreat. Ungafuni ngawe. I think in this season also, let's just be selfish about our time, you know, about ourselves, because we make too many compromises. Mm. I will give you a chance to make up for what you did. I'll give you a chance to explain, perhaps, and also give you a chance to show up, you know, in the season to come. Perhaps this one is difficult for you, but I'm not going to beg you. You know, let's not beg people. Nobody's
I think the begging, I can see it fired you up.
Yeah.
I think begging people is, that leads me into my next train of thought. Do you think staying in a one-sided relationship just shows and reflects your lack of love for yourself?
Fully. I've sat on this couch before saying that I stayed in a particular relationship because I didn't love myself.
Mm.
You know, I allowed disrespect because I did not love myself. I allowed myself to be the only committed one, to be the only loyal one, because I didn't love myself enough to leave.
Mm.
So sometimes that boundary setting is important, because it shows a love of self. When you reinstate a boundary, when you tell them, and I think be adamant about it as well. Sometimes we set boundaries just to see, you know, just to see how far that person's going to take it, or if they're going to respect it, or just to test them or whatever. Let's not do that. Let's be very honest about it and say things we mean and mean things we say, so that when they do cross that boundary, you stand on it.
Yes.
You know, in 2024, it was called standing on business.
We're going to keep standing on business.
Boundary and say, hey, if you go to the club, you will come home to an empty house.
And you mean it.
And I mean it. I'm not coming.
You're going to find nobody.
Do you get it?
Nobody.
If you give a girl a lift,
you go find...
You are going to find an empty bed. Do you get it? If... Kai, if you even had some girl's story on Instagram, your fridge is empty.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Like those, I'm being very extreme. No, I'm not being extreme. These are my boundaries.
Yes. No,
what do you mean you're giving a girl a lift? She must walk. Take her heels off and walk. Hey, you can't find an Uber after a gig. I don't care. We don't care a damn.
I feel like in that instance, why was her plan my husband's car? Like, why was her plan of mode of transport my husband's? Meaning she comfortable.
Exactly.
She too comfortable for my liking. That level of,
also, future husband, if you're watching this, there's no such thing as a female friend, let alone female bestie. We're not even going to talk about that. We've spoken about that on this couch enough. Female friend, I'm your everything.
your beginning and your end, after God. For me, I think another thing that causes one-sided relationships is not viewing yourself and seeing yourself the way God views and sees you. The reason I say this is because if we really involve God in every aspect of our lives, including our relationships, you would be unable to stay in a one-sided relationship. Yeah. Like, it would be impossible for you to stay in a one-sided relationship. Because you know your worth, you know your value. Mm-hmm. Everybody has worth and value, even your significant other. That's why it's important to appreciate people, you know? And therefore, if you understand that, the other person should have the ability to understand that. Mm-hmm. If you're with someone who does not understand that, then you shouldn't be with that person because they're still emotionally immature and shouldn't be in a relationship, you know? And I feel like we tend to do that a lot. We tend to try and explain, try and understand for people who are in a place where they are not ready to be in a relationship. And it's okay to love someone, but not be in a relationship with them. You know, God calls us to love each other, you know. So I think setting boundaries with yourself, setting expectations for yourself is a very important thing when you're navigating Jolo. Yeah.
Also, on the God end of things, I think staying in a one-sided relationship is evidence of a lack of trust in God. Because you don't trust that there is something better for you. And so you settle for this rubbish.
Eish.
It's getting very personal. It's getting very
That is so real. That is so real.
But it is. I know that all the one-sided relationships that I stayed in, it's because I didn't trust God enough.
To deliver. I think, like, if... Oh, guys... You know, patience and trying to take, like, lack of patience and trying to take a lot of things into our own hands. Like, this reminds me of the story of, guys, I'm still in Genesis, so most of my biblical references will come from Genesis.
Yeah.
There's a story of Sarah who couldn't be patient enough to wait for God to give her her son. She made a plan.
Yeah.
She made her husband sleep with her servant, you know, and that caused baby mama drama and the whole thing. It was a whole scandal. Like, they ended up fighting.
Two different religions.
Like, they ended up fighting, like, you go. She felt, like, disrespected because, that lady has your son. Now she's disrespecting me. The other lady's like, Sarah's an abusive wife. Like, she's abusive towards me, you know. So it's like, it showed, like, how Sarah could not wait on the Lord and how she took things into her own hands. And you saw the result of that. It was not positive. It was not good. But luckily, we serve a God who forgives and a God who restores. So he did restore that situation. But we don't learn from those stories. We don't learn from those circumstances. We like to take things into our own hands. Really? We like to take our love lives into our own hands.
Really? And every time I've taken things into my own hands, I've made a mess.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you literally, like, just saying, hey, I'm gonna build my man. You know, I'm gonna Bob the build this relationship. I wanna build it brick by brick. Can you see what you're doing? You're doing what Jacob did, wrestling with God. you are wrestling with God. You are fighting and wrestling with God with things that he already said he'll bless you with. Did he not say that he keeps his promises? If you ask him for a husband, trust him to keep his promise. Don't wrestle with him for it. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Don't like you.
This is story for myself.
Yeah, very personal. I think my last thought piece on this girl chat topic is, as much as we've spoken about decentering men, which I'm very much for, okay, I also think let's decenter emotion.
No,
genuinely. We allow ourselves to be led by emotion too much, especially when it comes to relationships and friendships. Let logic prevail.
I think it's sometimes we allow ourselves to be led by the flesh. I don't think it's
the flesh and emotion is flesh.
Then
so decenter your emotion.
Move
like a soldier. See things for what they are, process them for what they are, not what they could be, what they seem, how it feels. I'm so happy, this feels like utopia, this is my man, paradise. Things happen once you leave paradise.
And yeah.
You come to sans.
That's my last thing. So let's go into the game. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
You have more on the game than I do.
Okay, so basically our game is truth or fiction. I know I'm eating up with these games, yo.
Yes, ma'am.
So truth or fiction, basically what's is gonna happen is one host is gonna tell a love confession. Whether it's a truth or the fiction, the other host has to guess. And if you guess correctly, you get a point. If you don't guess correctly, you lose. So who's starting?
You can start, girl. I ain't got no stories.
Okay, here's a story.
Dun, dun, dun.
One day, right,
I
said good night to my man. I was like, good night, we stay in the same res, good night. He's like, yeah, I'll come back later just to like say goodbye. It's okay, fine. I chill in my room, I chill. 10, 11, midnight. I was like, I says, I go to sleep. Martin had a dream. I had a dream. And the dream said, Vuga, sisi. I call. I'm like, hello. I'm calling. It was ringing on WhatsApp. Then I keep calling. It's no longer ringing, it's calling. Which I would see the person.
You switched off your data or you
switched off the data or put it on airplane mode. So I call now with call. I even buy a time, I call. Nothing. Then I'm going to my friend's room to hear, like to go and tell her. I walk, I pass a door. I'm like, that is my man's voice.
Yeah.
That is my man's voice.
It's true.
This is like a girl section.
The story is true. You're telling it with so much passion.
It has to be true.
It definitely is.
Yeah, it's truth.
He was at another girl in another girl's room.
Yeah, and she stayed two doors away from my friend.
Mama.
And then I woke up another friend. So basically, I put my friends in locations because there's only three ways you could get to his room.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in those different locations. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm coming to your room now. Mm-hmm. I text him that. So now he has to leave her room. Mm-hmm. My friend, they stood and they looked at him like this and watched him come to his room.
That's true. Yes.
Guys, I'm single forever. No, I rebuke.
Isn't this supposed to be lighthearted and fun?
It's funny.
And cute.
It's a funny story.
I mean, you can laugh at it now in hindsight, Jabo.
In the moment, because I was out there in a nightdress, guys. You know, to have me arguing with you in the cold in a nightdress is just diabolical.
It is diabolical. Also, you were woken up.
Bruh, I didn't even see.
The dream woke you up. You know, I don't, you know, my stories, they're all very sad.
So speak. I
can't really laugh about them right now.
Maybe it's funny.
It's not funny.
Okay. It's funny.
Let me think. Okay. So, when I was younger, I was in love with this boy who was so much older than I was. And when I tell you head over heels, it was head over heels. I went to school for this boy. I would stay behind. I would follow him home. Like, it was very deep, okay? And one day, I professed my love to him. And to my surprise, he loved me back. And then we kissed, but the kiss was really bad.
You're in grade 3. Of course it was bad. Yeah. Is it truth or false? Yeah. It's false.
Yeah, it's false.
I don't think you had your first kiss until high school. I just have that feeling.
Let me tell you, part of the story is true.
But not the...
Yeah, I wanted to throw you off, but like, ugh, I thought you were going to believe me.
No.
So I did fall in love with somebody who was in grade 7 and I was in grade 3. And yeah. I did do all of those things. I did follow him home and I did write him letters and I did do my hair specifically for him and all of these things, right? And I did confess my love to him, but when I did, it was not reciprocated.
So that was your first experience of one-sided relationship.
Yeah, but did I give up? No. A few months later, we were in love. And he's still in love with me to this day. He sings me happy birthday every year.
Yes.
Without fail.
Yes, yes, yes.
Also, he's a little bit slow.
Oh, damn. Okay, yeah, never mind.
How can you be 14 falling in love with an 8-year-old?
Never mind, I find.
Yeah. But I still love you, baby. My first love.
Okay, here's my story. So I was with this guy, right? And I was with this guy. We're literally at a park.
Mm-hmm.
Linking up and everything like that. And then his friends happened to be there. So he was like, oh, let me go introduce you to your friends. We get there. He says, hi, guys. This is Palisa. And I was just like, I looked at him. And he's like, oh, shit.
False.
It's true.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
By another girl's name?
Yes.
Oh, my days.
I walked away and I never spoke to him again.
Oh, my days.
I walked away.
You know, I'm such a crush out here. Yeah?
I walked away.
I will play along. I will happily play along. So, yes, my name is Vanessa.
You know what I did? I actually... guys, oh my God, I was so toxic. I wasn't in love with him like that.
Okay.
But I wanted him to feel bad for calling me with another girl's name. So I walked away like all angry. Like I acted angry. I really didn't care. I acted angry and everything. I matched. And then he followed after me and poor. And I just kept walking. I'm like, no, I'm walking away. And then he got on his knees to ask for forgiveness. I just loved the theatrics. Like I really liked
to see a man bear.
Yeah, I loved the drama. So I was like,
fine,
I forgive you. Yeah, that was the story.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I actually didn't like palisas until my friend. I literally had proper beef with palisas.
I didn't like palisas.
Like proper beef with palisas.
That's mine. Okay, so one night I was on a date with a friend of mine at one of my favorite restaurants. And we're just grabbing a drink because we had dinner in a different place. So at this restaurant, we're just getting drinks because their food is not that good. And as we were having drinks, this man or the waiter comes over to us and says, that guy over there has already settled your bill and he's paid for a second round of drinks for you guys. Mm. And then we looked over to the other table and we thanked the guy. We just said, hey, thank you for settling our bill. And he lets us enjoy the second round of drinks. And after that, he comes over. As he sees we're about to leave, he comes over, he introduces himself and says, hey, I'm blah blah. And this, he was really old. He was like 47. He focuses his attention primarily on me and not my friend. So I engage with him a little bit. He asks, what you're doing? I'm studying. Blah, blah, blah. We exchange numbers. At this time, I was single, you know, exploring my options. Again, always had to think for the olders. And so a week later, we go on a date and I ask him to pick me up. He picks me up in this most beautiful car I've ever seen in my life. My goodness. He picks me up in the hood. I wasn't at my house. I was at a friend's house, also in the hood. So he picks me up and we go to Fire Room. So as we're having this conversation, as we're having dinner at Fire Room, the conversation goes south and it gets very sexual very quickly. I get turned off, I pick up my bag, and I leave. And he lets me leave, and I never hear from him again.
That's true.
It's false.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's false.
I know part of it is true.
Part of it is true. Up until the fire room thing, the conversation did get very sexual. I did pick up my bag to leave, but he chased me.
Oh.
And then I stayed, and the conversation changed direction.
Like,
but I still didn't talk to him ever again.
Okay.
I just felt like, you know, because he was older, I felt a little bit pressured to stay because he ran after me and he made like this whole scene, and I was just like, okay, fine, I'll stay and see this day through because it's fire room, the food here is great, I am hungry, I need me some steak and some oysters and some sushi and a bottle of wine, so it's fine, I'll stay. And the bill was ridiculous, and then I never spoke to him again.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because he was looking at me and was like, you have bedroom eyes. Then I'd ignore that comment and come and talk about something more serious, and he'd be like, your lips, tell me what else they can do besides talk. Like, what? You're nasty.
But the red flag should have been like a 40-something year old wanting to take you out. That nigga didn't want a relationship. That nigga wanted a thing. He wanted a thing.
I guess.
He wanted a sugar baby.
I guess.
And you were not.
I wasn't a sugar baby because he ain't give me no money. He ain't give me no money.
That's the point of like the coming and picking you up with his car, the taking you to fire room, showing you
that's
what he can do.
That's standard procedure though for a date, no?
It is. But then some men think that that's enough. It's warranted for more.
No.
Because I was once on a date with a guy and he was like, guys don't like taking out girls on dates. The only reason why we do it is because you guys like to do it. What men like is sex. And I was like, ew. Ew.
Comment like that would turn me off for life.
Ew. I was turned off forever. Forever.
I would never look in your direction.
Ew. And he's a content creator. Ew.
Now you're making me curious.
Ew.
Who is he?
Oh, ew.
That guy.
Yes, yes, ew.
Okay.
And then, okay.
Subscribe to memberships to know exactly who that guy is.
Burr.
Name drop.
Oh, that's crazy.
And picture drop.
That is
style.
So crazy. So here's my last story.
Okay.
I was at Ray's and basically there was a guy who was confessing his feelings for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, no, I actually like you as a friend. I'm sorry. And then I give him a hug. No, before we got there. Basically, what happened was there was another guy who I was in kind of like a serious talking stage with.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy was flirting with he was flirting with a girl while he was letting a girl flirt with him in front of me. Mm-hmm. And our relationship wasn't a relationship yet. So he didn't want to go public about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked away out of anger. And then here comes this guy who's a friend, and I guess he wanted to be more than a friend, and he took it as an opportunity, which is sick. Why look for the moment where you think I'm my lowest to come and profess your love? You wanted to be the shoulder to cry on so bad. He was like, oh, and I was like, no. But I gave him a hug and I left.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, when I left, the other guy saw the hug and he literally picked up the other girl and kissed her in front of everybody and everything and everything. And
that's
everything.
True.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's definitely true, girl.
Yeah,
I don't have anything else to say about that.
Yeah,
this was supposed to be lighthearted. What the heck are we doing telling sad stories, guys? We'll try again next week. Next week is the time for good stories about love and actually being in our lover girl.
I don't have any though,
era.
But okay,
I think I do. I do have, like, you know what? Granted, I did not date Satanists, you know. They had a little bit of Satan in them because they were whores. But they had to do something to get me. So I'll tell you all the things they did to get me. And not only the things they did to lose me. You know?
That's fair. I have a lot of those stories.
Yeah, we'll tell those next week. And laugh and, you know,
be light,
look forward to love again. Not these tragic stories.
Do you have any last tragic stories?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can move.
I have tragic stories, but they're not something to laugh about.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
One day, I found an earring in my man's apartment.
Oh my God, what a story.
Nothing to laugh about.
What a story.
A
long topic, the psychology of heartbreak. Kaya has a lot of input on this.
Yes.
The psychology of heartbreak.
Yeah.
Why do we hurt so much?
Yeah.
What is the science behind a heartbreak?
I think, one, we've discussed at length how behaviors, thought patterns, conversations, experiences establish neural pathways, biologically, right? Mm-hmm. And so heartbreak is the end of a neural pathway, right? Because a whole routine has now ended, whole lifestyle has now ended, a whole person, a whole character in the story of your life is no longer there.
Yes.
And that's a devastating thing for your brain, because that neural pathway included emotions like oxytocin, right? Relaxing hormone, not emotion. Yeah, oxytocin is a hormone, not an emotion, my bad. And you are happy, and happiness is a chemical thing also. So the heartbreak is literally the antithesis of what happened when you were happy, right? It's the breakdown of all of these things. So instead of releasing oxytocin, you're now releasing, instead of releasing serotonin, you're releasing stress hormones now. So it has a mental effect on you, and it also has a physical effect on you. I also found out that heartbreak can trigger withdrawal symptoms.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes.
But it's so real and true, and I've experienced that as well, where people who've dealt with addiction before enter relationships, and that addiction may not have been prevalent during the relationship, but the end of the relationship, that heartbreak that follows, triggers the withdrawal. So you'll find that a lot of drug addicts relapse, have really terrible relapses as a result of heartbreak, or they fall into deep depression, or, you know, they engage in really risky behavior, really, I don't want to say brainless, but yeah, really impulsive behavior, you know, detrimental behavior to their health, their mental well-being, their social well-being. So the downward spiral, somebody's downward spiral after the end of a relationship is actually a scientific thing.
Yes.
It's an emotional as well as a scientific.
It's thing. A body reaction, because you see, falling in love, being in love is a drug. Love is a drug. Mm-hmm. It's like every other drug you take. When you drink wine, you have because alcoholism is a real thing. You drink wine, you have you feel happy. When you take cocaine, you feel happy. All those things, it makes you feel zen. It makes you, love does the same thing. You know, a person can become a drug to you. So what happens when you abruptly stop taking the drug? You experience withdrawal. You actually go into a physical and mental state where you actually become like a drug addict who stopped taking their drug. So rehab is a real thing for heartbreak.
That was also a
rehab is a real thing. So you need to take your symptoms that you experience when you experience a heartbreak seriously. Take them as seriously as you would someone with alcoholism, because it's the same thing,
dude.
Chemically, the same thing. Emotionally, the same thing. Physically, the same thing. Yeah. It can cause you to have a stroke.
Yeah.
It can cause you.
What's heartbreak syndrome?
Right? Yeah, you can literally have a stroke when your heart is broken. Yeah. Like, I can remember when I got my heart broken, the heartbreak that shocked me. I thought I was being dramatic with my reaction, but after doing the research, I realized that my reaction was actually mild, you know, compared to what it could have been. Because, the breakup was so abrupt. It happened it was a shock, you know, and I won't lie, this person was my addiction, you know. So when the breakup happened, I remember screaming, I screamed. And I felt like my heart left my chest and went to the floor, and I couldn't breathe. I had an entire panic attack. I couldn't breathe. I had an episode. I was on the floor. I felt like I was dying. I felt like I would never harm myself, but I felt like I was dying. Like, I could barely catch a breath. It was like somebody died. I don't know. It was very intense. And I thought feeling that like that was a bit dramatic. But it also, understanding that love can be addictive, also made me understand why I kept going back to that relationship. Why every time he would come, I would let him back in easily. It's because he was my drug. I knew how the happy moments felt, and our highs were really high. So he was really a drug to me.
It's such an astounding realization to come to as well, it was a discovery, guys. It sounds so far-fetched, but scientifically it is the truth, and it makes me look at heartbreak through such a different lens now, that you are absolutely correct in saying the same way we treat somebody who's in withdrawal for alcoholism, for drugs, is the same way we should treat somebody who's going through heartbreak. Mm. And again, guys, feel free to do your own research on the topic, but it's absolutely correct because love triggers the reward the same reward system in your brain that actual drugs trigger. Mm. So we need to take heartbreak seriously. And therefore, not only take it seriously as people who witness somebody experiencing heartbreak, mm-hmm. but for ourselves too. Sometimes we're very quick to like invalidate our own experiences and say, mm-hmm. it's time to move on, or like, you know, it's time to get back out there. And even the people around us encourage us not to dwell there for mm-hmm. too long. But I think now that we've discovered how serious it is, it should be dealt with accordingly.
Yeah, like the same steps you would take if you're an addict of alcohol mm-hmm. as the same steps you could take mm-hmm. as a person experiencing heartbreak,
which amplifies my whole chat about staying away from your ex. Do you get what I'm saying? The drug, there it is, stay away. You know, you can't be friends with alcohol. They always say just because you can resist the devil doesn't mean you should hang out with him.
That's true.
So just because you can resist your ex doesn't mean he should be in the vicinity. That was your drug at some point. It very much is still possible to relapse. Don't leave room for that to happen.
That's true. Like, you don't advise someone who's trying to like stop their get off their addiction of coke to be in the same room with coke. Not once, exactly. Not twice, every day.
Exactly.
No, you can't be friends with your drug. You fully can't. It also makes me like sympathize a lot, because I didn't understand why people stayed in abusive relationships. But now that I can see how addictive love is, I understand why people stay in those abusive mm-hmm. relationships, because mm-hmm. it's literally like a drug mm-hmm. to them. And because we only see the abuse, we don't see the physical and the emotional impact it has on the person. Mm-hmm. We don't take the right measures to get the person out of that thing. Mm-hmm. It's like when someone has to quit cigarettes, for instance, mm-hmm. you don't just go cold turkey quitting mm-hmm. cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You reduce the amount of cigarettes you take. Mm-hmm. So it's like when someone says that I can't just leave the relationship, mm-hmm. they have to slowly detach, distance themselves from the relationship. Yeah. It's also understanding that form mm-hmm. of breakup. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's such a beautiful take on it. That is an excellent take on how abusive relationships work, because I myself have been in one.
Yeah.
And you, even for the life of you yourself cannot register, or like you can't, you don't know why you're staying. You know that you shouldn't be in there. You know that this person hit me, I should be gone. Mm. You know that this person hit me, I should go report them to the police. This person sexually assaulted me, I should go report them to the police, right? You have all of these thoughts. Your brain, logic does come to the forefront, right? But the same way that logic comes to the forefront for addicts, for addicts to substances, it happens for people who are in relationships as well. We know, trust me. We know we're in an abusive situation, but there is such a neurological dependency on this person, dependency on the relationship, that it cannot be something we stop cold turkey. And you'll find that when I was in an abusive relationship, I stayed for very long after the first time that man hit me. Mm. I stayed very long. I stayed very long after the first time he sexually assaulted me. But it literally happened in a moment that I left him many months after the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. And it was in a moment where I realized that I was now losing myself. I was no longer recognizable to myself. So we also, as much as we want to help somebody come to the realization of the situation that they're in, love them out of it as well. You know, be present for people who are in abusive relationships, same way you're present for addicts when they go to rehab, because it is not an easy situation to detach from. But I promise you, when that person comes to that realization, they're going to leave, and they're going to leave for good. Mm. So we must have that amount of patience. I love that take that you just had about same amount of patience we have for people who are addicted to substances is the same amount of patience we should have for people who are in abusive relationships. Because we, a lot of the times, we're like, oh, why did she stay? You know, like she knew. A lot of the situation that comes to mind first is the situation of Garabo. I don't know if you remember Garabo.
I feel like I do.
Yes. The one who was dating an abusive man and then he burned her. Like he beat her to death and then he burned her. And prior to that, she did share with her family that he was abusing her. And when the story came out that she had now been murdered, there was a lot of victim blaming going on because, you know, the public at large were saying that a few months before you were sharing with your family pictures of bruises, pictures of cuts and all of these things. Why did you return to him? Now, as a result of this conversation, you can understand.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a thing of like, it's so funny how my take has changed since last year when we had the same conversation when we're speaking about this. And it's like just realizing actually the impact. It's like someone who overdoses of heroin and you're like, why are you taking the drug again? You know, apply that same logic to somebody in a relationship, you know, so you can actually see and learn how to help them. So literally look up how to help an addict is how to help someone. And
yeah, just maneuver it, like tailor it to the situation at hand.
Yeah. Do you have any coping strategies on how to like transform heartbreak into personal growth from someone who is like,
also you have not.
Yes,
I'm like, girl, you also need to share yours, like share your coping strategies, because I know like it takes a lot of work and so maybe our work was different. For me, like I said, heartbreak triggers withdrawal symptoms, the same withdrawal symptoms that you see with all addicts, like anxiety, depression, anger, frustration, outbursts, all of these things are real life examples of what happens when somebody is heartbroken. I think processing the heartbreak is at the center of dealing with it. Talk, please. I say it all the time. Talk to somebody, anybody, because just having that outlet allows you to now also view what happened objectively and subject. You are able to see the whole picture for what it is and process it. Sometimes, like I said, the last time we spoke about heartbreak is that I also compartmentalize and I want to keep going. I'm just like, but it doesn't help when it comes to heartbreak because you are in neurological distress. Neurological distress, emotional distress, physical distress, like, your whole body is shutting down and you need to confront that. And by confronting it means talking about it. Also, I joke a lot about staying away from your ex thing. It's I'm being very sincere about it because especially if you were in an abusive relationship or a hectically one-sided relationship where this person continuously cheated on you, my goodness, there is no... maybe in a few years, but when you want to deal with the heartbreak, you have to stay away from what broke. You cannot expect to find healing in the same place where you found brokenness. Nada. Asking for an apology, finding closure, all of these things are ideas that were presented to you as a feasible solution or a feasible way of coping with heartbreak. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Stay away from whatever and whoever broke
your heart.
And also physical exercise.
Yes,
I had no idea again that getting out there and being physically active, whether it's at the gym, whether it's walking, running, hiking, doing creative activities, just being physically active can renew your health, your mental health, your physical health. Guys, being physically active is something that affects every other area of your life. Your brain needs to function because it is the brain that was affected first. Because that reward system was triggered, you need to create a new reward system, you know? So those are the three things that I'm just going to put forward for dealing with heartbreak. I'm going to share more when I happen to remember them. But what are ways that you've dealt with heartbreak that have really helped?
I think for me is I went to my support system. I feel like it's very important to have like a group of people or a person who is a outlet, who is like a support system, who's there through it all. I don't believe in individualism in a sense of like, you can survive alone. I can do this alone. No, umuntu kabantu. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. So for me, I remember when that happened, I immediately called an Uber. I didn't even care what was happening, what was going on. I think you broke up with me. before even writing my final exams.
What?
That nigga was wicked. Wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Hell, it has a beautiful place for him. But anyways, I'm actually saying this in a funny manner now because I've healed him. I wish him all the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I went to one of my friends. I called an Uber immediately. I went and I stayed at her place. I feel like being away from the environment where the heartbreak occurred helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And just being in a new and different environment. Mm-hmm. I think I stayed with her a week. Mm-hmm. And because I was with her that week, I was literally just venting. Mm-hmm. She also, like, we did a lot of stuff to just get me back into myself. That's remind beautiful. Me of, like, who I am. I remember we just sit in the grass and just, like, look up at the clouds and just chat it away. We'd take walks together. That's we beautiful. Did a lot of things that helped me come to, you know?
Yeah.
So I think having that person is very important. I 100% agree with Kaya of like completely dissecting that person out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Complete. If you used to have a joint account, remove the joint account. If you used to stay with the person, you cannot live with the person. You need to find a way to move out as soon as possible. So luckily for me, he stayed somewhere else. Because, like, mind you, this was not the first time I'd broken up with this person. Mm-hmm. Toxic dynamic, addictive mm-hmm. relationship. So I went back time and time again. And the difference about this time is I wasn't looking for closure. Mm-hmm. You know this thing of looking for closure, everything, I fully relate to that.
Lie.
It's a lie. I wasn't looking for closure anymore. I wasn't trying to get an apology anymore. Yeah. Like, I was completely, utterly done.
Yeah.
And what made it nice is that he didn't stay in the same vicinity with me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen him mm-hmm. since we broke up mm-hmm. and it's been over a year and some months. Time we go to the same university. Imagine, oh, God is good. I have not
you
seen
moved him out of the way.
Man. Like, I've not even seen him. And you know, so far, people around me will say, oh, we saw him. And
I'm like, I hate people who do that. I hate people who do that. My ex's friend, I was out with my friends this festive, and she comes up to me and she's like, hey, do you remember me? You are so, I know, I'm so and so's best friend. We met here. I'm like, in my mind, I was like, there was no need for you to come up to me and tell me this, bro. Do you know how much you're triggering me, telling me that you are who and who? And I didn't even recognize her. That's the thing.
I guess
she came up to me and said, do you remember me? I'm so and so's best friend. Yeah.
You're a social media person. People will try to have proximity with you through any means. We'll try and say that they have a connection and link with
that's
you.
So ridiculous.
Because otherwise, what benefit does she have from
even that?
That
says, friend, I saw your ex posting something like.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I don't need to know. Like, I remember I had a friend who kept me up and I never asked. She would just be like, he's in a relationship now. And I'm like, hi, Bo. Ah, he's what I'm like, oh Jehovah.
People who give you life updates on what your ex is up to.
Oh Lord.
You are working hand in hand with the person who's
very wicked
of the fiery pit.
Very wicked. Very wicked. So like, yeah, so I think like completely like separating and staying away from the person in all, like even social media, guys. I think he blocked me, I blocked him. Yeah. I haven't seen any inch of anything. I don't know what's happening in that man's life. If he's dead, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Like, type of thing. As that level of like.
Resist the urge to stalk your ex for my sake.
Bruh.
For my sake. Because you'll go and you'll find something where he's treating his new girl better than he ever treated you. And then the you healing that you've been doing for 6 months has been erased.
It disappears.
Please don't
that's
stalk
true.
Your ex on
that's
social
true.
Media. Also, something else that I want to share as well is that heartbreak has a way of destabilizing you, because chances are that you spent a significant amount of time with this person. They were well integrated into your life and your routine. They were somebody who you spoke to 24/7, you know, somebody who knew you better than anybody else. And the absence of this person causes you to no longer be stable, or to feel like you don't have a place anywhere, right? And I think the remedy to that is finding firm footing elsewhere. Establish a new routine, establish a new lifestyle, establish a new way to integrate something else or someone else into your life, right? And that can either be family, that can be friends. Prioritize a new way of building a foundation, right? And I highly suggest God.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
I highly suggest God.
Like a Bible study or something.
You know, you can take my suggestion or you cannot. This is not by force, but personally,
You know what I'm saying?
That's who I put forward as my best suggestion. If you are not inclined to do that, that's all right. It's not by force. But find firm footing elsewhere. Because I know that your heartbreak destabilized me. Because this person drove me everywhere. This person shot a lot of my content. This person...
Ish, man.
So I needed to find...
I needed to
establish a new team.
Yes.
I needed to establish a new mode of transport.
Look, Kai was like, she needs a car. This girl was like, last year, this girl was like, I don't think I'll ever drive.
But I was going to come with the driver. Oh. I didn't say I was going to drive.
Okay. But Rich was not looking for a car before, but now she's...
Now I am. A car and a driver.
Yeah.
And then to sit at the back.
Preferably, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm good. But yeah, I would like, if again, send in your CV if you'd like to be my driver. Just know that you will have to drive me places. If I'm at a Thought Digest shoot, you will wait in the car until the shoot and the meeting is over. Then when I come to the car, you open the door for me, you carry my stuff. Like, you know, driver/butler, send your CVs. Praise God.
Watch the ads, subscribe to memberships.
Please.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I think we're gonna go deeper into heartbreak and on memberships. Yeah. You know what to do. You know you must subscribe, you must like, you must comment, you must share today, because we're talking about like dealing with heartbreak, broken hearts today. Broken hearts, crying emojis, anything really to resemble how that nigga broke your heart, but it's fine.
Or that girl. We have some male viewers here.
Yeah. Or that girl who broke your heart. Yeah. To the people at the back. I'm just kidding.
Nobody at the back is heartbroken.
Yeah, no, those people are soft. Oh. Anyways, see you guys next week, Monday, same time.
Bye. Mwah.